Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now, we all come here with different thoughts and emotions upon our hearts and minds. Some of us are thinking about the tree that's back home and some of the presents that are under the tree, and we might be have shaken them already, trying to figure out what they are, and we're looking forward to opening those gifts. Some of us are excited because family is in town, or maybe you're in a new relationship, or perhaps you've gotten a promotion, or you've had some kind of good news, and that's really nice during this Christmas season, and you feel really joyful. When you sing Joy to the World, you are really excited. But not everybody is coming here tonight with happy thoughts and emotions. Even during the Christmas season, it seems like bad news doesn't take a day off. And if you turn on the news, you might have heard about the tsunami that hit, and it can raise all kinds of questions and doubts and anger and emotions as to why this had to happen. Or perhaps you've experienced the recent news of a diagnosis, either for yourself or for a loved one, and you're concerned during this Christmas season. Or things aren't working out very well between you and your family, or there's something else that's weighing upon your heart and your mind at this moment. And we come this night with different thoughts and emotions and struggles, and maybe when you hear that song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," you just want to say, "Bah, humbug." It's possible. But tonight, whatever emotion you are feeling, wherever you're at, there is a message of good news, of great joy, which is for all the people. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 tells us these wonderful words, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Now, those shepherds were out in the field. I don't know if they were enjoying their job at the time, but we know how it goes when you're working a job and some days are just kind of blah and you're waiting for the weekend. I don't know what the shepherds were feeling, but I don't think they were expecting what was about to happen when an angel appears. And the angel says, "Fear not," for good reason. Because I don't think that angels, as we find them in the scriptures, are rather cute or cuddly. And they're probably not what Hollywood makes them out to be. Some of you remember It's a Wonderful Life. I know most of us have seen that, and we think of Clarence. Clarence, the little angel that's trying to get his wings back for some reason. And that little line, "Every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings." But that's not what we see in the scriptures about angels. Angels are not people trying to gain their wings, but rather holy messengers of the Most High God. Neither are they like Michael Landon in Highway to Heaven, that some of you also remember, but rather fearsome and noble warriors of Yahweh, the Lord of hosts. And so there's this angel, a significant messenger of the Most High God, that delivers a message to a bunch of shepherds in a field. It's interesting that the shepherds are some of the first to receive the good news of the Almighty God coming into human flesh. But what a message they receive, a message of good news of great joy, the message of the Messiah. And it's possible that some of them were waiting, as many other people were, for the coming of the Messiah. And many people had waited and waited and waited, and now the message that the Messiah had arrived was there, and guess what? They get to see him. They didn't go off to Jerusalem to a big fancy palace. They didn't go off and see this nobly dressed little prince with gold and diamonds and jewels, but rather a little child wrapped in cloths, wrapped in diapers, laying in a feeding trough. But that was their little baby Messiah, the little Messiah in the manger that was there for them. Not to defeat the Romans, not to just lead to political success, but rather to save them from something much deeper, to save them from sin, to save them from the power of Satan, from the power of death. For we know that this little Savior would grow up and rise to be the Lord, the one who would die for them and rise, and also for you and for me. And you see, that's the message that's good news for you and for me. The message of good news of great joy that was announced to the shepherds is also good news that is announced to each and every one of you. As we heard in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And that's wonderful news. Now, if I were to ask different people here about what your jobs were, I imagine we'd get a whole different set of jobs from people who are engineers and professors and teachers, police officers, people that take care of all kinds of different things in our community. And whatever your job is, whatever your place in life, I want you to remember that the Savior came for you and for all people, for people of all different cultures and backgrounds. This is amazing news. The Prince of Peace has come so that when the time comes, when Christ comes back, there will be peace. There will be peace. And what I like is that the message was a gift for all people, even though we didn't deserve it. I was walking in Target the other day, trying to do some shopping, not very successfully, unfortunately, but walking through Target, and there was this lady with her two kids, and one of the kids was being kind of a brat and was whining in the cart, and the mother was trying to take control of the situation, and she said, "Now, if you don't behave, Santa's not going to come, and you're not going to get any gifts. You're going to be on the naughty list." I couldn't help it over here. I didn't stop and make any comments, but just kind of walked on my way. And maybe some of you saw that YouTube video that was floating around of that little British brat, the little kid with the little accent. "I'm not on the naughty list. I'm a nice boy." And he's arguing with his father about this, and he thinks he's on the nice list. Well, here's an interesting thought for you. If God were to have a naughty and a nice list, I wouldn't be on the nice list. And neither would any of you. Now, I ran across a woman the other day, and she thought, you know, I'm living a pretty decent life, and if there is a God out there, I'm pretty sure that when I get to be wherever this God is, that I'll be there. I'll be in heaven with the Lord. But what she didn't understand was the truth that the scriptures speak, that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as Romans chapter 3 says. And Romans chapter 5 says this, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Make no mistake about it. None of you deserve the Savior Jesus Christ to come for you. Neither do I. But God in his rich mercy has mercy upon you and me and sent the Savior not just to stay in the manger, to be a cute little story for Christmas time, but rather to be a Savior who would die for you, to live the perfect life, to die for you, to shed his blood so that you would be forgiven, and also to rise so that you would have hope and new life. As it says in one of our Christmas hymns, why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Nails, spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. And maybe right now you are doubting. Maybe you're in a place where you're wondering if God could ever forgive you for what you have done. Maybe you're in a place where you are scared. But the message, the good news for you this evening is just that, that the good news of great joy is for you. I remember seeing a video a couple years back a picture of this Christmas tree, and somebody went crazy buying gifts for their kids, and I think there were something like 300 gifts around the tree, so that you started to see only half the tree because there were so many gifts around the tree. Now, that's really exciting to have that many gifts under the tree, but imagine if you were to paw through all those gifts, searching for your name, and none of those gifts had your name on it. All of a sudden, that excitement would turn to sorrow and frustration. But you see, the message of the gospel is that the Savior is for you. It has your name tag on it. As Martin Luther wrote in one of his Christmas sermons, we are always to add for us. For whom was he conceived and born? For whom did he suffer and die? For us, for us, for us. Always add us. That is why the fathers rightly put the word in the creed and in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We should relate this word to every sentence, conceived for us and born for us, suffered for us and raised for us, ascended for us and sitting at the right hand of God for us. For it is no accident that the words, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, are followed by, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. With these words, we seek to take him unto ourselves, to make him our Lord, the head of our family. So what are you going to do with the gift that God has given to you? Will it stay a nice story that you hear on Christmas Eve because you come here with your family? Or will it be something that you will carry with you tomorrow and the next day and the next year for the rest of your life? You see, the good news for you is that we have a message not only for this Christmas season, but for the rest of the year and for the rest of your life. And this is a message that brings joy in whatever circumstance. You see, we can have Christmas year after year without the lights, without the Christmas ornaments, without the presents, because the presence of Christ has been made known in the manger for us. Some of you might recall that movie, The Grinch That Stole Christmas, or the story. And the Grinch, after he stole all the presents and the lights, he's puzzled because the people still come out and gather around together. And it says in Dr. Seuss, and the Grinch with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more? And because your Savior has come, Christmas means a lot more. And I must tell you that this is a message for you that is there even when the lights get put back in the boxes, even when the ornaments get put away. It's a message that will be there with you in whatever circumstance you find yourself in. I had a very unique experience this Christmas. Just a couple of days ago, I was at Salem Hospital visiting someone on their deathbed. And I had the privilege of reading the story from Luke chapter 2 to this person who is dying. But you see, because of the Savior who has come for you and he has risen, we can have hope and we can have joy even at the deathbed of a loved one. Because Christ the Savior is risen. And because Christ has risen, that means that we have the hope of everlasting life for those who are trusting in Christ. And think about this. At the end of the day, when you are on your deathbed, what good will the trinkets under the tree do for you? You can't take it with you. All the beautiful Christmas clothing, the dresses, the fancy sweaters, what good will that do on your deathbed? But the one thing that you have because your Savior has come is him and the hope of eternal life. I have a friend who's not feeling well during this Christmas season, and I asked him, you know, if you wanted to hear a Christmas message, what would you want to hear? And he said, hope. And that's something that we have because Jesus is for us. And so, my friends, God's blessings to you during this Christmas season as you celebrate the birth of a Savior for you. And this message will last. And this message will bring joy and will bring peace that surpasses all understanding. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.